as it is found in Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. We will read the whole chapter, and the text for the sermon is the whole chapter. Ezra 7. This is the Word of God. Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalem, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his request, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord, and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. And all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God which is in Jerusalem. That thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasurers which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. Unto 100 talents of silver, and to 100 measures of wheat, and to 100 baths of wine, and to 100 baths of oil and salt, without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done diligently for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also, we certify you that touching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, Nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. There ends our reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Ezra 7 begins a new section or another section of the history of the book of Ezra. Chapters 1 through 6, as we saw last week, covered the history of the first return from Babylon of some 40,000 people led by Zerubbabel the prince and Joshua the high priest. This section that begins with chapter 7 and continues through the end of the book, chapter 10, takes up the history of the second return from Babylon, some 80 years later, 80 years after the first return, and about 50 years after the temple had been rebuilt and rededicated in Jerusalem. This second wave was led by Ezra, the priest and the scribe, who is identified in verse 1 of the chapter, and whose lineage or whose fathers and grandfathers going back to Aaron the priest are listed in verses 1 through 5. Artaxerxes is the king, and Ezra returned to Jerusalem in the 7th year of his reign and the first 5 months of that seventh year. All of this some 80 years after the first return. This whole chapter centers on Ezra and his preparations for the work of teaching God's people the Word of God, and on the heart that he had for the house of God that was at Jerusalem, the heart that he had for the church of God. Verse 10 says that he prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. That's the reason that he returned. And verse 6 tells us that this desire of his heart to teach the law of God and to do it in Jerusalem made or caused him to make a request of the king. And that request comes out in the letter that the king gave to Ezra that we will look closer at throughout the sermon. But Ezra's peculiar, his unique interest was the beautification of Jehovah's house. Ezra is speaking in verses 27 through 28 in a doxology of praise to God. And he praises God for the thing that God put in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. Ezra wanted to make the house of God a lovely place. And he did that by having a concern for the worship that took place there. He used the money that he received to buy sacrifices for the altar so that the people of God would have a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that would wash away their sins. And he had a heart for the teaching of God's people in the ways of God, so that by living a life according to the commandments of God, they were beautiful before the nations in the midst of a world that was ugly with sin, that they were beautiful by God's work of grace in their hearts. And Ezra recognized that all of this would be accomplished only by the grace of God. And that God of grace he praises in his doxology. This shows that Ezra is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth to beautify the church of God, to beautify us as the church of God. He did that by his death on the cross, where he atoned for all of our sins and covered us in God's sight. And he does that today by his Holy Spirit working in our hearts so that we live according to the commandments of God and walk as his children. So we consider this text, chapter 7 of Ezra, under the theme this morning, Ezra's heart for the beautification of God's house. Notice first Ezra's preparation, second Ezra's purpose, and third Ezra's praise of God. Ezra had a heart for the church of God at Jerusalem. This man, Ezra, was an office bearer in God's church. Verse 11 of the chapter describes him as Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord. Ezra was a priest. He was consecrated to the service of God and the work of the temple. And to establish that he was a priest, the text gives his lineage, his descendants, all the way back to Aaron, the chief priest, so that there's no doubt that Ezra is a priest and therefore is qualified to lead God's people and to teach them. Ezra was also a scribe. He was a man who wrote the Word of God. That's what a scribe did. He copied the Word of God. At this time, there were very few copies of the Word of God, but those that there were made by scribes. But a scribe like Ezra didn't just write the Word of God, didn't just copy it. Because he wrote it and because he spent time with the Word of God, he knew the Word of God. And so he could teach the Word of God to God's people. He had the law memorized and he could teach it to the people. This Ezra led the return, the second return from Babylon, the office bearer in God's church that God used to restore his people to the promised land. Before he left Babylon, Ezra made a request of the king. The king Artaxerxes, who was the king of Persia and ruled the territory where Judah was, Ezra went to him and he made a request. And this request comes out in the letter that Artaxerxes writes. We can read into that, or we can read that letter and see in there what Artaxerxes grants to Ezra and what Ezra's request was of the king. And that reveals what was in Ezra's heart, what he cared about. He had a heart for the church. And Ezra is going to receive many things from the king for the service of the church. And he puts them all in the service of the church. He doesn't take everything he receives and go on a vacation, a tour of the Persian Empire. He takes them back to the promised land and puts them in the service of the temple of God. Let's see some of those things that Ezra requested. In verse 13, he makes a request that all of those, especially priests and Levites, who were minded or who wanted to go up with him back to Jerusalem, could do so. He wanted to take with him all of God's people still in Persia who were interested in returning to the promised land and to help Ezra in teaching and in leading God's people there. In verses 14 and 25, he requests permission to teach the law of God. The king grants him permission to teach the law of God. Verse 14, "For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand." And verse 25, "And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river." Ezra wanted to teach God's people the word of God, and the king granted him permission to do that. And in verse 25, he is given permission to set magistrates and judges that may judge all the people and teach them that know them not. These were office bearers that Ezra could ordain in the church to judge cases and judge circumstances that came up in the lives of God's people according to the law, and to instruct God's people back in Judah whose knowledge of the law was lacking in some way. And Ezra was also given permission in verse 26 to discipline those who refused to heed his instruction and to order their lives according to the word of God. He was given the authority to put people to death, to banish them, to confiscate their goods, or to imprison them. Now, those were all Persian forms of punishment, but they're put at Ezra's disposal for the service of God's church. Ezra, as an office bearer, as an elder in the church, had a concern for discipline and good order in God's church. Thirdly, in the matter of what Ezra's request was, he was given permission to carry all the gold and silver that he received back and to use it in the worship and in the service of the temple. And that those riches, that gold and silver, had three sources. It came from three different places or different people. In verse 15, the king says that he freely offered gold and silver unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. The king and his counselors gave money for the work of the church. That would be like the government of the United States giving money to our church to use for the work of the church. King and his counselors gave money. Ezra was also given authority, verse 16, to make a collection of all the people in Babylon who were living where some of God's people in Babylon were living. And the Babylonians living around them had to give gold and silver for the support of God's people who were going to go back with Ezra to Judah. They had to give for the support of the journey and for the life of that the people would live in the promised land again. And then finally, there were free will offerings that the Israelites themselves gave. That's also in verse 16. "All the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the free will offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem." The people gave willingly for the support of the church. All of this shows Ezra's heart for God's church. And God granted his request that he made of the king in a way that probably was beyond Ezra's expectations. God rewarded the faith of his servant richly. Verse 21 and 22 records the king's decree to the treasurers beyond the river, the treasurers who had control over the area where Judah was. And he tells those treasurers, those government officials, to give Ezra whatever he asked, unto 100 talents of silver and 100 measures of wheat, and 100 baths of wine and 100 baths of oil and salt without prescribing how much. Just to give you an idea of how much that is, 100 talents of silver would be several $100 million today. 100 baths or 100 measures of wheat is over 900 bushel baskets of wheat. Now today, when we build bins on our acreages that can hold many thousands of bushels, that might not seem like a lot, but it was certainly beyond what Ezra was probably expecting the king to give him. And 100 baths of wine and 100 baths of oil was over 900 gallon jugs of wine and oil each that Ezra was given for the service of the house of God that was at Jerusalem. The Lord abundantly provided through the means of that wicked king for the work of his church and the support of his people. Ezra himself was prepared by God for his work. He didn't just wing it. He didn't just get up one day and say, I'm going to lead God's people back from Babylon to Jerusalem. God prepared him for his work in his head, Ezra's head, in his hands, and in his heart. Ezra was prepared for the work in his head. He was a scribe who knew the law of God. And when we hear the law of God, when we read the law of God in the chapter, we probably think, first of all, of the Ten Commandments, that law of God that is read in church each Sunday. But the law of God was much more than the Ten Commandments. It was the first 5 books of the Bible, of which Moses was the inspired writer. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Ezra knew all of that law. He had it memorized. He could quote it at will. He could apply it. He had wisdom to apply what he knew at the right time and in the right way. He was prepared for his work in his head. He was also prepared in his hands. He didn't just know the law of God. He didn't just have some intellectual understanding of what the law of God was, but he was prepared to do it in his life and to teach God's people how to do God's law. Some of the more modern translations or versions of the Bible that we don't use in church, but that we may use to help us understand difficult passages in the King James or different words in the King James Version. Different translations of the Bible have in verse 10, where the King James has do, they say practice. And that's actually a very nice word, because that's the idea. Ezra wanted to practice the law of God in his life. He didn't just want the knowledge of it. He didn't just have the knowledge of it. He desired to practice it in his own life and to teach God's people to practice it in theirs. James 1, verses 23 and 25 admonishes New Testament believers. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. But Ezra was prepared in his head and his hands, because the Lord prepared him in his heart. Ezra was prepared in his heart to be the leader of God's people. Jehovah made Ezra willing in the day of his power, so that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. God came into Ezra's heart by his Spirit and worked regeneration there in that heart, regenerating Ezra from darkness to light and sanctifying Ezra through the work of the Holy Spirit and preparing him in his heart to seek the law of God and thereby to seek God and to devote his life unto God. To seek God's law and to seek to practice God's law is to seek God and is to seek the glory of God in our lives and in our lives as a church. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord. It all began in his heart. And he had a heart for the church of God and for the beautification of the church of God at Jerusalem. That was risky business for Ezra. He was giving up a life of comfort in Babylon and setting out on the pilgrimage from Babylon to Jerusalem, leading a band of God's people and not knowing what he would find when he got there. 80 years, after all, had gone by. What was the situation there in Jerusalem? Were God's people living according to the Word of God? Were God's people living according to God's Word in their worship in the temple? Ezra got out of his comfort zone, we might say, and prepared himself and prepared the people to return to the house of God and to take up the worship of God there. The king had a purpose in granting Ezra's request, and that purpose was found in verse 23. Why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Artaxerxes makes several references in his letter to the God of heaven and to the God whose temple is in Jerusalem. He was not a believer. He was a wicked man. But he was superstitious, and he wanted to have all his bases covered as far as the divine was concerned. And he had heard, as many of the nations of that day heard, that bad things happened to nations that angered the God whose temple was at Jerusalem. Egypt had been destroyed by 10 plagues. Pharaoh and his host had been drowned in the Red Sea. The Canaanites had been overcome by Joshua and by David and subdued by Solomon. And throughout the history of Israel and Judah, the Lord had fought for his people against their enemies, and their enemies had been destroyed before them. And Artaxerxes did not want to anger this God of heaven, whoever he was, and bring wrath on his realm and on his sons. That was Artaxerxes' purpose. But Ezra, inspired by the Spirit, also had a purpose in returning to Jerusalem to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra understood that wrath would be upon God's people in Jerusalem if they were not worshiping and if they were not living according to the commandments of God. And he desired to teach them so that they walked in those ways. Let's go back to the 70 years to before the captivity. Why had Israel been taken into captivity? Because they didn't know the statutes and judgments and the law of God. That doesn't mean they didn't know them intellectually, that they didn't know them in their heads. They did know them in their heads. They did understand what the law of God was. But they didn't love that law of God. They didn't receive that law as the revelation of their Father in heaven to them, expressing his love for them as his people and the way that he desired them to live as his children in the world. Hosea 4, verses 1 through 6, speaks to this situation. Hosea 4 verse 1 says, "There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." That's how things were before the captivity. There was no love for God and for God's law. And Hosea 4 verse 6 goes on to state the well-known words, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." That lack of love for God and for His law had led to a departure, a lack of practicing God's law. Hosea 4 again, verse 10. "For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart." But instead of heeding the call of God's prophets and turning from that disobedient way, the people of Judah had continued to disobey the law of God and to seek the knowledge, and to seek knowledge not from God but from their idols. Hosea 4 verse 12, "My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God." And when he got back to Jerusalem, Ezra would find out to his great sorrow, as chapters 9 and 10 of Ezra say, that the people had been living for some time in the gross sin of mixed marriages, of giving their sons and daughters to the heathen for wives and husbands, and of taking from the heathen wives and husbands for their sons and daughters. And even the leaders of the church that were at Jerusalem were engaging in this practice. The last word in the book of Ezra is the list of the church leaders who were guilty of living in this sin of mixed marriages. And perhaps word of this had come back to Ezra in Babylon. And hearing this grim news, he desired to return. The Lord used that to fire in him a zeal and a desire to return and to teach in Israel, verse 10, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments, and thereby to beautify church, the life of God's people. Statutes and judgments. A statute isn't a decree or an official pronouncement prescribing attitude and behavior. And that's what God's law does. It prescribes for God's people the attitude of our heart and the behavior of our life. God sets that down in His Word. He did that in His law for Israel. He does that in His Word for us today. Ezra desired to declare those statutes in Israel, as we receive from our ministers today the declaration of the statutes of God's law. And a judgment is an authoritative declaration that an action is in accord or not in accord with a standard. God's law is the standard for right and wrong. People deny that today. People in the church deny that today. God's law is the standard for right and wrong. And God declares in each of our consciences and through the declaration of His Word that our behavior is or is not in accordance with that standard of His law. And that leads each of us to examine our own heart and life to see that we are in accord with that standard. That's what Ezra was going to do. We read later in the book that he built a pulpit in Jerusalem and he declared from that pulpit the Word of God, and then he taught the people what that Word of God meant for them. And for those who were living in the sin of mixed marriages, it meant they had to put away their wives and their wicked husbands and live in purity and in holiness according to the law of God. Ezra prepared himself to do that. He knew there would be opposition. He knew there would be people that kicked back against that, that didn't like what he was saying, and yet he, by the grace of God, prepared his heart to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And it was in his heart also to beautify the house of God itself. Now we saw last week that the rebuilding of God's temple, that is the subject of the book of Ezra, is a type and a picture of the gathering of the New Testament church by Jesus Christ. And that the temple in Ezra is only a picture. Today the church is not, and the body of Christ is not, the physical building that we gather in, the materials that make up this building, the stones that make up this building, but it's us who are gathered here as by the power of Christ, as the living stones that make up the body of Christ and the temple of Jehovah God. Ezra desired to beautify Jehovah's house, which for him was that physical temple. We read in verse 18 that the king gave him permission to do with the rest of the gold and silver as it seemed good to him. That is, to use it in some way to beautify the house of God that was there in Jerusalem, the temple that had been rebuilt. But that wasn't the main way that Ezra desired to beautify, to make the house of God lovely. We read in verse 17 that the king gave him permission to buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. Ezra was going to use that money to buy animals for sacrifices. Because what made the temple beautiful was not how much gold or silver it had, but those sacrifices that were offered on the altar, where the blood of those animals was poured out in rivers, and where the people saw in those sacrifices the picture of the Lord Jesus who was coming, whose blood would wash away their sins in the sight of God, who would make them clean, who would make them white and pure as members of the church, who would cleanse them from all of their sins. That was what Ezra desired to do, to beautify the house of God through Christ-centered worship. Worship centered on that sacrifice that pointed to Jesus Christ. And he used the money to buy sacrifices so that God's people would have that assurance and that hope that God's promise of Christ would be fulfilled and that their sins would be washed away in his blood. How do we beautify the church today? In that same way, by having a concern for the Christ-centered worship of God, by coming to church where the services focus on the declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ for our salvation, the cross of Christ as the only way whereby those who repent of sin by the power of God and believe in Jesus Christ are saved, that there is atonement for all of our sins and sinfulness in the blood of Christ. Ministers who today take Ezra's place as those who declare the Word of God, beautify the church by declaring this gospel to the people of God. And the church is beautified today also by the preaching of the law, the preaching of the law to lead us to Jesus Christ, to see in Him alone the salvation from all of our sins, and to see in that law the rule for our thankful life of gratitude to God. The way that God, as Our Father will have us who are His children to walk. And by the power of the sanctifying Spirit of Christ that is given to us, through the very preaching of that law as the gospel, we receive the grace to live beautiful lives of thankfulness to God. All of that we receive for the sake of the cross of Christ. Christ, of whom Ezra was a type, with his desire to beautify the church of God. Jesus Christ has a desire for our beauty, that we who are ugly by nature in sin in Adam be made beautiful as the children of God. For that purpose he came into the world, that he might make us the peculiar people of God, that he might cleanse us from our sin, that he might wash us in his blood and make us pure and holy in the sight of God. And by His Spirit still working within us, He sanctifies us day by day through the preaching of the Word, so that we live beautiful lives. Not perfect lives, because we're not yet delivered from this world of sin and from our own bodies of sin. But by the grace of God, given to us for Jesus' sake, we do live beautiful lives. And that includes our repentance of our sin. That's beautiful to God. When we turn from our sin, from the way of disobedience, from the way of seeking other things besides Christ as the hope of salvation, and seeking Christ alone as the only way, truth, and life. And by the power of God's, of the Spirit of Christ living according to the law of God. For that desire that he had, and the answer to his request that God gave him through the king granting him all according to his request, Ezra gave praise to God. Ezra recognized that all that he would do to beautify the church of God, buying animals for sacrifices and teaching the statutes and judgments of God, was by the grace of God alone. It wasn't in Ezra. Ezra was a man, a creature, and a sinner besides. What could he do to beautify the church of God by his own power? And his recognition of the fact that it was all by God's grace comes out in the chapter, in the places where Ezra speaks of the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Verses 6, verse 9, and verse 28. Ezra speaks of the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And in Scripture, the hand of the Lord, the hand of God, is not code word, but is a phrase that means the providence of God. The providence of God, the everywhere present power of God, whereby God controls everything that He has made for the glory of His own name and the salvation of His church. And we see that in the chapter. God controlling even the heart of the wicked king to grant this request, these requests that Ezra made for the beautifying of God's church, granting these requests above and beyond perhaps what Ezra expected, and granting them all for the sake of his people who were at Jerusalem, because of his mercy that he had for them. Ezra makes mention especially of God's covenant mercy. Hath extended mercy unto me before the king, verse 28, and his counselors, and before all his mighty princes. Ezra was rejoicing there in God's steadfast covenant love to his people, to Ezra personally, to the people that Ezra would lead back to Jerusalem, and to God's people who were already in Jerusalem. God had showed his covenant mercy to them. He had preserved them as his people. He had brought back his people from Babylon. Now he was bringing more people back 80 years later, and he was giving them a pastor after his own heart to teach them to seek their salvation in Christ who was coming by the sacrifices that he would make on the altar in the temple, and to teach them the statutes and judgments of the Lord to order their lives. God had shown mercy unto his people, and he had done that in the sight of the heathen. The king and his counselors and his mighty princes all could see that Jehovah, God of the covenant, was not unfaithful to his promise, but that he was keeping his promise to Abraham and to David and to all of his people by returning and by preserving his people in the promised land in the hope of the Messiah. By God's grace in Jesus Christ, we glorify him today for the beautification of his church as we have experienced it. The beautification of us personally, of the application of the blood of Christ to our own souls to wash us from all of our sins, to declare to us that we are righteous in the sight of God, and for the grace that is in us to live each day according to the Word of God, lives of gratitude and holiness, hoping and looking unto the certain fulfillment of that salvation in the perfection of heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for the word of the gospel of Christ that has been given to us in thy word. We thank thee for Jesus Christ. We thank thee for pastors who, like Jesus Christ, desire to beautify the church, not through anything they have done, but through declaring the gospel of Christ and declaring thy law as the rule of gratitude for our salvation in Christ. Wilt thou forgive our sins and our sinfulness and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.